Ross Bowman Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to the Ross Bowland Podcast, otherwise known as RBP, presented by Bowland Media. I am your host, Ross Bowland, back again as always with your co-host, Chris Coles Colson. Chris, how are you?
Great, man. Sun was out, windows down, music up. Great start to the morning.
And today, once again, we are joined by Bowland Media marketing consultant, Jared Borislow. Jared Borislow, Mr. Borislow, how is your ass?
My ass is fine. It was firmly planted in my car seat on the way here. When I came as close as I ever have in my life to hitting a human being with my car.
Mm. Would you like to share?
A pedestrian.
A pedestrian, yeah. Okay, so here's how it works. Definitely my fault. Pedestrians always have the right of way. I'll always support that. Pedestrians, I support the pedestrian. Everybody knows that about me.
Sure.
Here's the deal, though. When you pull out of my apartment complex, everybody always does it. It's like a not the best sight line. And if you pull all the way up to the street, essentially, like going on the sidewalk, then you have a better sight line to pull out, right?
Sure.
When you do that, the pedestrians always will either make sure they make eye contact with you first before they walk in front of your car, or they just walk directly behind your car.
Mm-hmm,
those,
sure.
those are the only two options in this scenario, right? What happened was this. I was looking down the street, making sure no cars are coming, and just when no cars start coming, I put my foot, move my foot from the brake to the gas.
Yep.
And as I do that, my foot just taps the gas. I like my eyes start going to in front of me
to scan back to the front.
And there's a woman talking on her phone, not paying any attention to me there, which again, she would have, if she wasn't on her phone, either made eye contact with me or gone behind the car. But she was so caught up in a conversation, walked right in front of me. And this is a crazy moment for me because this is a moment when I'm like instincts and like what's it called? Reactions
sure.
are very real, right? Because I literally slammed on the brake faster than my brain processed that there was a human being.
Like, what happened? Yeah.
What happened? Like, literally, I remember, like, my head turns over, and by the time I realized, oh my God, there's a woman walking in front of my car, my foot was already in the brake, and I had already slammed it on.
See, and that's because you're in a good mental place. If you're, like, a mess and haven't slept well lately and you're half drunk from the night before, the concern is that your brain, in an attempt to protect you, hits the wrong pedal, and you go cruising right over that woman.
Yeah.
And also, I've brought this up many times recently, so it feels almost repetitive at this point, but I am dating a woman who has a 2-year-old, and you have to teach little kids to look both ways before they cross the road.
Sure.
Like, they have absolutely zero concept for the danger of vehicles speeding at high rates down the road. They just don't have that yet. And you can't explain to them, like, look, the consequence of not following this rule is death, because that's just too heavy.
Yeah.
You have to tell but them the farm upstate.
Once you're an adult human being, this is not a difficult concept to grasp anymore. The road is where the cars go. The cars weigh tons, and they go very fast. If one strikes you, you will die. Why people talk on the phone crossing the street? Look, it's not New York City. This is Austin, Texas. This isn't a commute. We don't have the subway. There's no excuse for this. If you are crossing the street on the phone in this city, you are asking to die at this point.
It's kind of hilarious to watch, like, as I've lived in a couple different cities throughout my life, like small town Lake Norman, also spent a lot of time in Charlotte, spent a year of my life in Columbia, South Carolina, now living in Austin, Texas. It's really interesting to see how different cities react about or like kind of handle crossing the street. Like, do they cross at only crosswalks? Like, when I lived in Columbia, Colombia is kind of a shithole. A lot of people commonly refer to it as the armpit of the South. It's the most humid place I've ever lived in my entire life. It stays hot all the time, and because it's in a bowl, there's never wind. It's literally a concrete jungle. It fucking sucks. And there, it just sucks the... No, like Houston. Yeah, it's like a mini Houston. It just sucks the will to live out of you. And so people don't give a fuck when they cross the street. Like, they will literally cross the street in the middle of traffic and, like, weave in between cars.
They want
cars.
To die.
Yeah, they want
they're,
to
They're die. Asking. They're like, if it's my time, bring it on, baby. Like, I am prepared to die right now. And if you someone know, hits me, there's my tuition.
You win, know who win. Crosses the street without a care in the world? The homeless. You know why? They don't have a lot to lose. It's kind of on you.
You have a lot of experience with that, considering you literally drive by the biggest like homeless encampment in Austin every single day.
Yeah.
It's right by your place.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck. Like,
I actually...
That's a thing crack will do to you, too.
Well, the other day, I was driving back from the Bull Media HQ, and literally, like, I had to stop in the middle of the road, because there was a guy just walking directly toward me in a green light in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Just like, it's on you, buddy. Figure it out. Yeah, that happens to me all the time. One time, Chris and I were driving to the studio, and there was a woman standing in the middle of the road just emptying her backpack in anger everywhere.
In
all the cars, you're just like, if you live in Austin at this point, you're just like, yep. And you just figure it out, like, go around.
Austin is
on with your life.
One of the most dangerous cities driving in America right now, just because the amount of people who just walk into the road is literally unbelievable.
And I've never lived in a city with such shit roads. Like, I'm sorry, Austin.
They're bad.
The roads are really, really awful.
Okay.
Really?
Houston was...
Even worse?
There was a point... I mean, Houston is a sprawling metropolis.
Sure, sure, sure.
But there are parts of Houston that man, I still haven't found an area of Austin that has competed with some of the shit I saw growing up in Houston.
If I take East MLK back to my house instead of 35, it's literally a roller coaster the entire way back.
The worst road in Austin, if you go to Burleson Road and turn right onto...
I'm not going to do this. Find the worst road in Austin.
Turn right onto Stasney. And it's this long stretch that goes over Williamson Creek, and literally it's like the entire road. You know when they try to fix a road by putting like a black line of tar in it? It literally looks like the brain's neural network on that road, because there's so many black lines they've tried to fill in, and it literally your car doesn't go up and down. Your car goes side to side, and so you're like literally, it's like you're one of those, the Disney Quest roller coaster simulator.
Oh my God. Yeah, and for some reason, they built the entire city to be made for, like, lifted trucks. So anytime you try to pull out of a parking lot, you literally scrape the underbelly of your car every single time. Every time I see somebody in a lowered car, I don't understand the drive. They have
still
to go through a bumper.
The Tesla.
Really?
Nope.
Not once?
Nope.
That's fucking impressive.
Austin curbs
you
are
You just
got
to know how to
bad.
Drive in the hill country. That's what it is. I'm used to it. I've been here for a hot minute.
I mean, I would...
Yeah, they call it the Hill Country.
Well,
I call
Austin
it home.
Is the border of Hill Country and East Texas. If you go to Bastrop...
You're going to have a hard time arguing that Austin does not fall into the Texas Hill
Austin
Country.
Is... But not East Austin. East Austin is not really...
I would agree. As you go further west, it's... Like, once you get onto Bee Caves, noticeably more Hill Country than it is where I live.
Not even noticeably. I would literally... If you drive on like 360 or B Caves, like literally you are in the hills. You look down over a valley, and you're looking down 200 feet down into like this crazy beautiful valley. Whereas if you're on the east side of Austin, you feel like you're in a farm.
That's very true.
Austin is beautiful in that the left side,
flat area,
huge.
They're definitely
in the hill country. The hill country's not non-stop rolling hills. It's not a requirement to be.
It pretty much is though.
I mean a lot of it, but I'm just saying, I think the hill country extends outside of Austin. So if like even in East Austin, if there's a flat patch, I think the hill country picks back up again on the other side. That's just my running theory. I have something else to talk about that has nothing to do with this. I went to yoga this morning.
Nice.
To get my head right. And it didn't really take this time, but that's neither here nor there. I only got like a 20-minute yoga high, which is usually something that carries for at least half of a day. But the point is this. It was a different kind of yoga class. It was some kind of weird mix of therapy and yoga. I don't know how to feel about it yet, but the dude was like, started the class... by asking each of us to introduce ourselves and tell how we were feeling, which, again, never happened to me in a yoga class. It's happened in an AA meeting. But so this one chick was like, hi, I'm...
Deborah,
and that's my mom's name. And hi, everyone. I'll be honest, I'm feeling very stressed today. And she was, like, clearly incredibly distraught.
Sure.
Because our governor lifted the mask mandate, and I'm freaking out. My first thought was, the fuck are you doing in a yoga class? are you aware... And the most ironic part of it is the teacher is literally doing this class virtually as well. He has a camera pointed at him. She could have been at home, which is kind of a big piece of my point today. But look, in Texas, our idiot governor, and I'm not even saying he's an idiot because of this. He was an idiot long before this. I don't know how to feel completely about this mask mandate being lifted, all businesses being 100% open situation that we now face as of yesterday. But I think personally, these are my thoughts on it so far. We have hit the point where this is kind of a little bit of an everyone for themselves situation in terms of responsibility and decision making, which was always the case with life, but somehow people forgot that. Look, folks, if you're a masker, if you're an anti-masker or a vaxxer or an anti-vaxxer, all anybody can ask at this point is that you just try to live a little more positively. Like, can we stop making every single day about the drama and anxiety of the situation? Is it dire? Yes, but we're over a year in. We can't live every day in the constant fear and freak out mode that a lot of you are refusing to exit. I understand, but what I'm telling you is there is no benefit. You are not changing these people's minds. And I'm talking to all of the sides. On both sides. They're very good people on both sides. In this case, it is time for all of us to fine. You believe what you believe. I believe what I believe. We believe what we believe. Now, let's all go individually live that way. If a restaurant that you love is no longer requiring masks, you have to make the decision whether or not to continue to support that restaurant. Does it suck a little? Is it inconvenient? Yes, but in the grand scheme of things, like we just talked last week about how we take a shitload for granted in this country. This is one of them. Freedom. That we take for granted sometimes. Like we take for granted running water and power, like we recently found out in Austin. We take for granted the fact that you have the ability to live your life every day without actually being that fucking concerned about anybody else if you want to. You're allowing the situation to dominate you more than it has to. And not every single one of you listening, but a lot of you and a lot of us have. I've been in this situation over the past year and a half too. And at some point, and for me, that point has come where I'm just like, look, this shittiness is not going away anytime soon, clearly. It's time to... No, I'm not new normaling it, but I'm like, I have to find my peace in this space. And that's all of our jobs at this point. And to figure out, okay, based on the circumstances, how am I going to operate on a day-to-day basis that will bring me joy and keep my family safe in a way that I believe is most effective? That's it. You don't have to bitch to every Tom, Dick, and Harry about this fucking mask mandate and that one and how you had this and that. And if you're really that upset with it all. Again, you don't have to share that negativity with everybody at all times. I get that it sucks. Nobody wanted this. Maybe some of you, I don't know. But most of us didn't want this. It is not enjoyable to have to face it every day. We have found this over the past year. Now let's find a way to at least make the fucking best of it, even amongst all the division and the disagreement. Just do your best and try to be positive and stop attacking each other. We're about to deal with, like, as Cole's pointed out in our group text between Jared and him and I, like a whole other wave of like Karen bullshit. And like, it's going to be shitty. It is going to be shitty, but there is a vaccine out there. I would also argue my personal opinion. It's time for everybody in their individual states and counties to start doing whatever they can to get that shit as fast as possible. I realize there are people who deserve it first and need to get it first and all that, and I think that's on the government to make sure they do. For the rest of us, it's our individual responsibility to go get that shit ASAP if you plan on getting it. Now, I realize there are those of you who don't plan on getting it, and I believe that's your personal fundamental right to make that decision. And I don't give a fuck. What you shit don't make me eat. Wait, what I eat don't make you shit. What you eat don't make me shit. There it is. I don't care. If you don't want to get it, fine. I cannot do anything about that. None of us can do anything about that. And if you're that freaked out about people who are going to refuse to get the vaccine, and oh my God, what if they come in contact with my grandparents? Bro, life was always a massive crapshoot. Like 120,000 people die every year from the fucking flu. People die every day from horrific shit. This was never the way we lived before. We knew people who did. And we made fun of them and looked at how miserable they were and neurotic they are. Now it's all of us. Like, let's just try to pull our heads out a little and get to a place where we can at least enjoy the day-to-day again without being struck down by the fucking negativity or a freak. You can't go anywhere without seeing somebody freak out at this point. One of the, what happened to me in this yoga thing this morning was just a weird version of it, but I've seen it in the grocery store. I've seen it at the fucking pharmacy. It's just enough. Pull yourself together, man. There's just too much good in the world still to only focus on this shit.
It's like,
we're years deep. We're years because of the political circumstances, the social circumstances. Like, it's too much heavy shit. We've all got to. No, you don't forget about it. Yes, it's important to solve. Yes, you keep it, like, top of mind. But frame it up in a more positive way somehow.
Yeah, it's like what Arian was talking about on the podcast on Monday when he was talking about the civil rights movement and how, you know, there's so much shit going on in the world, but people were still drinking, laughing, hanging out, and being merry with each other. I mean, we got to drink, laugh, be merry as best we can.
Even in the fight, man. Even in the fight. Even in wartime. Even in the Great Depression, people had to find a way, you know, to get through and be happy. And I know there are a lot of you out there who are doing this already. What I'm saying is I'm just now starting to get there, and I think that that's a... We all need a swift kick in the ass in that regard. A lot of us do. To try to start getting more toward the light and out of the darkness. Anyway, it's time to start our show, and first we're going to talk about getting your lawn right. New sponsor, pay attention, RBP376 is brought to you by Sunday.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Spring is just around the corner, and that means it's time to get the lawn on track. Mine was utterly wrecked, as was pretty much everybody's in this city, by the freeze. So, look, the last thing anybody needs is another complicated or toxic lawn product. Sunday isn't just another lawn care product. This is an incredible company with an incredible product that I frankly didn't know that much about lawns or lawn care before we brought them on as a sponsor, but they're a customized lawn plan that works with nature. So you put in your address, right? They get a full like GPS view of your lawn. It's kind of hilarious. The full square footage, the information about the soil, everything you need, and they take out all the guesswork and unwanted chemicals so you can grow a beautiful lawn that's better for people, pets, which is obviously important to me having four now, and the planet. In my first box, I'm rocking with the Mighty Green to get my lawn looking right and more green, also the Iron Booster. Then I will get a second box that has a heat defense in it to protect my lawn in the hot Texas summer.
Ross, I've often said that your lawn looked anemic, so I'm extremely happy you're getting the Iron Booster.
Got to get the Iron Booster, you know? It's easy, though, Sunday. And I knew, like I said, almost nothing about lawns before they came on. Very excited to be doing actual lawn maintenance to make my space look green and happy all year long. And Sunday makes it so easy to take care of your lawn. You just go to Sunday.com. Like I said, I put in my home address. Their free lawn analysis tool took care of the rest all in a matter of seconds. They use soil and climate data to create a tailored nutrient plan based on where you are, so you get all the stuff your lawn needs and nothing it doesn't. Sunday is made with ingredients that you can actually pronounce, like seaweed, iron, and molasses, so you can grow better and feel better about it. Let Sunday take the guesswork out of growing a greener, more beautiful lawn this spring. Visit getsunday.com/Ross to get $20 off your custom lawn plan at checkout. That's $20 off your custom plan at getsunday.com/Ross. Time for some announcements and shouts. Happy birthday, Joran Ashley, back on February 27th.
I think we missed you.
If you want to watch episodes of RBP and all Bolin Media podcasts, you can do so on YouTube. In this case, just go to YouTube and search The Ross Bolin Podcast. You can watch our most recent episode featuring special guest Arian Foster, former NFL great, now musician and activist, and a good friend of mine. Go watch that episode on YouTube by searching the Ross Bolin Podcast. It'll probably be the first thing that pops up, and there you go. If you'd like an ad-free, premium, exclusive third episode of this podcast every week, as you know, we drop on Monday and Wednesday publicly on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube, but every Friday, we go ad-free, premium shit on patreon.com/Ross Bolin Podcast, and this Friday, we have a very special episode for y'all that I'll tell you about at the end of today's episode, but for now, it's time to jump into today's first segment. Insane headlines of the day. We have a few good ones. All kinds of different subject matter, too.
Well, two of them are about shoes.
Okay, well, two of them are shoe-related. The third
one. That's not saying they're not good ones, Jared.
No, you just said there's very...
All manner of subject matter.
Are you anti-foot protection?
No, I just believe, you know, two out of three being the same thing isn't, like, crazy diverse. But they are very...
It's a fair point.
They are very spread out within the shoe niche.
Fair.
Also a fair point. Here's our first one. Nike executive resigns after report reveals teen son used her corporate credit card to fund resale sneaker business. Mm. Now, as a sneakerhead, I'll just briefly explain something to the non-sneaker people who do not give a shit about the sneaker world. Idiots like me spend a lot of money on shoes that look cool by like Nike and Adidas and the like. These shoe companies figured out several years ago that if they could do a scarcity model where they drive up demand to an insane level and keep the supply low, hype feeds the business and causes everybody to want the shoes they release even more. The entire thing is ridiculous. I have participated in it for far too long, at far too great a personal expense to even disclose. All that is to say, the last thing a major shoe company, the biggest one in the world, I believe, Nike, would want is for anyone to find out that one of their executives' children was a part of the resale business that has fucked everyone who liked buying shoes in the ass. It is awful. If a shoe drops, here's the problem now that you need to imagine. Let's say a Nike shoe is coming out tomorrow that I really, really, really want.
Sure.
I want it so bad. It just speaks to me, Chris. I just can't wait to buy it.
Gotcha.
All these morons on the internet know that.
Yep.
Now, they don't give a fuck about that shoe. They're never going to wear it. They're going to buy it only for the sake of then selling it again, reselling it, at a higher price.
Yeah, I got boned on this once. I wanted to go see Shrek 3 on opening night, It was just totally sold out, and I had to pay some dude $500 so I could sit in the back row.
Oh, man. See? Damn. Jacked up the price on you.
That is absolutely brutal. One time, this is an actual true story. My dad and his best friend at the time, after getting out of the...
your story wasn't true. Go ahead.
After getting out of the Army, they went to the Super Bowl down in New Orleans one year, and they bought like $300 tickets from a scalper outside, tried to go in. They were fake tickets.
Okay, slightly different things we're talking about now. That's a con or a scam. You're just a moron.
But back to shoes.
Yeah, back to shoes. That is obviously, it creates a big problem, especially for kids, especially for people who don't have a lot of money.
You got the robots.
Suddenly a $200 shoe costs literally $1,400 in some cases, which is, most people are not willing to pay $1,400 for fucking anything.
And the thing that felt the scummiest about the original article that I read was that this kid was using...
Well, let's get to the kid in a second.
Sure, Hold on.
And to Jared's point, yes, there is also a situation where hackers and programmers create bots...
That's what I was going to say,
that then go in and buy hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of pairs of these shoes, and for the same reason, just to resell them. It's not about anybody that's getting to... It's a fucking mess. There's this whole secondary and even third-dairy market...
Tertiary.
Thank you, Jared. That exists now in the shoe world. So this is a very big deal, such a big deal that, in fact, the executive, Ann Hebert, ends up leaving Nike. I'm pretty sure they just told her, like, you have to get the fuck out.
Well, at first, the company came out... So Bloomberg released an article about 2 weeks or a week and a half ago or something, just focusing on her son, Joe, and talking about how he was using... Never mentioned the mom... Never mentioned that his mom worked for Nike. There's even a quote in the original article that says Herbert declined to talk about his sources of information, but he did say that he was lucky to have grown up in Portland.
So what was the story in the first article?
It was like, just a deep dive on Joe Herbert. West Coast Joe. One of the biggest sneaker resellers. He's like 20 years old, dropped out of college.
So it's not just
super
that he
young.
Was doing this. He was a very well-known sneaker reseller.
Yes, very well-known, making a lot of money.
So the OG story is just about how successful of a sneaker reseller he is.
Exactly.
And then it just turned out his mom was a Nike executive?
Exactly. And they use his last name the entire time. Like, I don't understand why he would do the story. It seems like, idiotic.
Here's your subheader, why he would give this interview. He's an idiot. Here's your subheader on that original Bloomberg story. When the pandemic presented a buy low opportunity, one college dropout hit the road and filled his truck with $200,000 worth of kicks.
Yeah.
Look, framing it up as just some random college dropout. I mean, this is... Yeah, this is not good.
No.
This is not good.
But to finish off that quote, he says, he was lucky to have grown up in Portland where both Nike and Adidas base their U.S. operations. If you know the right people here, this is the city to sell shoes, end quote. He said, the right people, quote, can give you access to stuff like that, like a normal person wouldn't have access to.
You mean like your mom guy?
Yeah, like your fucking mom. He was using his mom's corporate Amex card.
So that's where it gets really, really, really crooked.
With bots to buy, like you're saying, all of these shoes at retail price on drop,
so really,
only to resell them at vast markup, sometimes 100% markup.
Nike's money,
yes,
to buy Nike shoes at retail price
and Adidas shoes, but yes.
Oh sure, but even yes. Just as to make it the most illegal part, he's using Nike's money from his mom's corporate credit card to buy Nike shoes and then resell them at a higher price when his mom is an executive at that company. Yeah, she's going to lose her job.
Now, and reportedly, this is from an article from MIA, and reportedly disclosed information about Hebert's business to Nike in 2018, which is what makes the resignation all the more shocking. According to the company, there was no violation of company policy, privileged information, or conflicts of interest, nor is there any commercial affiliation between WCS LLC, Joe's company, and Nike, including the direct buying or selling of Nike products.
But if he was using her company credit card, isn't that a direct...
Well, I don't know if it was the company credit card. It just says using his mother's credit card.
It said corporate card at some point in there, but I'm not sure.
Okay, so it may or may not be the actual company credit card then. Either way.
But
weird that she, first of all, that she even was like, hey guys, I just thought maybe a heads up. Well, good on her, I guess.
She told
now
him.
It's on Nike.
Yeah.
Now I'm wondering why Nike allowed this to go on. The entire thing is fucking weird.
Yeah, even if it's not fully, like, illegal for, you know, insider information or insider trading or whatever they could get popped for, it's definitely completely wrong considering the demographic of the shoe resale market and kind of the way that it rose up as being, like, these boots on the grounds people that were waiting in line to try to get these shoes and then resell, and, like, now it's just this rich kid coming in and, you know, taking hundreds of thousands of dollars
and
worth of shoes online.
And he's not the first example. It's been this for a minute. There's a lot of these, and it's really, really weird. And honestly, a lot of the strangeness has been that the hypebeast community embraces these guys when they're the guys fucking the hypebeast. It just doesn't make sense. So in other shoe news, speaking of hypebeast, they put out a post yesterday on Instagram showing this new Adidas shoe. It's like in a superstar collaboration alongside somebody named Tommy Cash.
You know who Tommy Cash is?
No.
Gen Z guy? I have no idea who Tommy Cash is.
I don't know who Tommy Cash is either.
It's Tommy Cash, dude. What do you mean you don't know who Tommy Cash is?
Dude. He's a Gen Z guy?
Everybody knows who Tommy Cash is.
He did.
That's plugged into the social pipeline.
He's
an Estonian rapper, singer, and conceptual artist, mm-hmm. obviously.
He's also the younger brother of Johnny Cash, who died in... Oh, he's still alive. He was born in 1940. I don't know
Johnny
if we're talking
Cash
about that Tommy Cash. He doesn't seem very Gen Z, though.
Johnny Cash is definitely dead.
I know Johnny Cash is, but Tommy Cash isn't the younger brother of Johnny Cash.
Tommy was born in 1940?
Yeah.
Not this Tommy Cash.
Are you sure?
This Tommy Cash is 29 years old from Estonia.
Okay.
His name is Tomas Tamamets, better known as Tommy Cash.
And what does he do? He's an artist?
I don't care who you are. If you get to a place where you get to rename yourself from Tomas, what?
Tamamets.
To Tommy Cash, you have done good. You have done well, my son. But they've hired him, Adidas, to create a shoe, and they made a meter-long sneaker.
A meter, for those of you who aren't in the metric system, I believe is 300 feet. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think it's 306 feet.
No, exactly. But how long actually is it?
It's like a little
bit
over
3
feet.
How
3.28 feet.
3.28
feet. Is a
feet,
meter. 3.28 foot long sneaker. You can't do this justice without just Google Adidas Tommy Cash. It will pop up. Now, I don't imagine this one's gonna yield a lot of demand on the resale market.
I don't think so. Especially because they're going to cost a lot of money to ship because they're a meter long.
And not only that, like, how the hell can you fly on an airplane wearing these shoes? Like, it would take...
How
can
you do anything with these shoes?
Specifically airplanes, though. I'm most concerned about public transportation in these shoes.
What about driving a car? What about walking down the street? How do you do anything?
They look like baguettes.
I know. They give me serious baguette vibes, too, J-Bone.
I don't see...
Like the food?
Yeah,
like the bread. It's a very long, skinny bread.
That's like two baguettes, though, is the thing.
This looks like the party sub from Subway.
Yes.
It really does.
On each foot.
Dude, I would be really into them if they just did the white shoes with the black laces and the black shoes with the white laces.
That would look a lot better.
The reason that they went I don't know why they went monochromatic, but that's really the only reason I'm not copping these.
It's Tommy Cash.
The only one.
The reason I'm not copying them is because it takes 76 minutes to tie each shoe individually. The laces go literally from the toe to the base of the shoe.
Chris, are they hollow? Are they hollow the entire way through?
Like, if you had a long enough foot, could you fit it?
Well, I'm just saying, like, when I pick up my foot, is it going to, like, flop? or is it going to stay straight?
It's one of the main concerns I have.
Because if it just flops, I'm kind of into that. Like, that seems a little dangerous and funky.
Do you slide around? Like, do you not pick your feet up off the ground? You're just kind
of
like...
Is part of the shoe always touching the ground, like the front, because you can't lift it up because it's so long?
We need these.
Honestly, how much are these?
Look, we all three have to buy a pair. I think it goes without saying. Even if that means hitting up... this former Nike executive's son to try to get the resale.
It's available via raffle until March 3rd, and today is March 3rd.
Oh, shit.
Can we find these?
Do they have sizes?
We're going to have to end the show quicker so that we can get out of here and make sure that we grab a slot.
Is it one size fits all? Like, do they have sizes on these?
Considering it's 3 meters long, I think...
But width-wise.
This is a very good question. What the fuck? I don't understand. This looks like an April Fool's joke, but it's March 3rd.
Imagine they send them to you without the laces. Like, you have to lace them up yourselves?
Oh, my God, this fucking... And one is black and one is white. Tommy Cash, man. Tommy Cash, changing the world.
Chris, do you actually think this was a collab between Adidas and Johnny Cash's 84-year-old brother?
I just figured that's why I didn't know him as a Gen Z guy.
Hey, he's still alive. We were like, wait, what?
Of course he's still alive.
He's 29. What the fuck are you talking about?
When you look up
Cash
Tommy
for?
Cash, the first thing that comes up is Johnny Cash's younger brother, Tommy Cash.
Not for me. Shit. First thing that comes up is Tommy Cash,
okay,
Estonian
rapper. You know, I might have gotten a virus that makes my primary search engine on my computer Yahoo, so that could be the reason I'm getting not as great of search results.
Your primary search engine... Is Yahoo?
It gets redirected. Every single time I just type into Google, even on Google Chrome, it gets redirected to Yahoo because I got a virus. I've been watching too many illegal NBA streams trying to watch the Hornets.
Look, here's the positive silver lining I'll put on this whole confusion. I didn't know Johnny Cash had a brother named Tommy, and now I know that. So moving on to our next insane and final insane headline of the day. Chris D'Elia faces child porn lawsuit from woman who says he had sex with her at 17.
Pretty timely considering we talked about Chris D'Elia's comeback. It seems like now he may be less back than ever.
So, obviously, everybody's been kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop here. Like we discussed the other week on the show when he came out and put his statement out, his YouTube video. Nothing. He keeps claiming it was all legal and consensual. This is the first time we're seeing somebody say, like, no, it wasn't. This is what they're alleging from the LA Times. Comedian Chris D'Elia is facing a new lawsuit that accuses him of violating federal child pornography and child sexual exploitation laws, including soliciting more than 100 sexually explicit photos and videos from a woman identified as Jane Doe. Half of those 100 sexually explicit photos and videos were allegedly taken when Doe was 17 years old, according to the lawsuit, which was filed Tuesday in federal district court for the Central District of California and reviewed by the LA Times. Quote, when I was in my final year of high school and still a child, I was groomed by a celebrity twice my age. Chris D'Elia abused his status and fame to lure me in, take advantage, and manipulate me when I was at a vulnerable age. I want any other girls out there to know that they are not alone. And it is time to get justice for the mental, physical toll he has put us through. The thing we discussed was that, end of the day, it wasn't about legal or illegal in his case, that it was about the power dynamic between a 35 to 40-year-old man and an 18-year-old child, and in this case, a 17-year-old child.
High schooler.
And that is just a highly inappropriate... Look, I don't give a fuck about what laws are state to state or country to country. In America, in the United States... Just as a broad generalization, 40-year-olds and 18-year-olds are at completely different levels of maturity, responsibility, and an understanding for life. And it puts the older person in a situation where they have a power dynamic that is controlling over the younger person and can be very influential. And it's the thing that was upsetting. And now there's someone claiming that at 17, that's exactly what occurred with her. Of course, a spokesperson for D'Elia said Tuesday, Chris denies these allegations and will vigorously defend himself against them in court. The one other piece of this I want to touch on, because obviously, look, we don't know what happened. You and I are not judge, jury, or executioner in here. It became kind of evident to me that maybe he did his video when he did because he knew inevitably something was coming down the pipe. He did his video when he did, and then I don't know if y'all noticed this, but he got back on Instagram. And you know what content he's putting on Instagram? His baby boy. Mm. Newborn son.
Kind of rebuilding the image.
I think it was an effort to put himself in a position for people to read this and then go look at his Instagram and say, how could he possibly be a predator?
Well, I mean, have you looked at the comments of his YouTube video?
No, but I looked at the comments on his Instagram. Yeah.
Overwhelmingly positive.
Overwhelmingly positive on Instagram.
Yep.
Overwhelmingly positive.
Like, I was
mostly
shocked.
Supportive.
Yeah, and, mostly supportive, yeah.
And frankly, it makes this all the more complicated and disturbing that he has a newborn son with his now, I believe, wife, who he was one of the people he cheated on in this situation, maybe when she was pregnant even, if I'm not mistaken. And which, not to say that that's like, you know, everybody fucking makes mistakes. Human beings are human beings. But his problem, and the thing I continue to have a problem with him, is a refusal to own any of the mistakes.
Yep.
And frankly, the video came off as smug on YouTube, just a dude bragging about how much ass he gets. And then now this, on top of it? So I only cover this because I talked very highly of this gentleman and was a big, big fan. So I am pissed. Also, this is a huge problem in our society that is a massive spotlight has been shown on for a few years now, but it's just getting brighter. The Allen versus Farrow documentary on HBO just being another example of like, look, it's not only pedophiles being like Catholic priests who diddle 9-year-old boys. There are layers to that world of inappropriate behavior.
Yeah.
And it includes 39-year-olds and 45-year-olds and 58-year-olds trying to date 17, 18, 19-year-old kids. And I don't know how you fix that necessarily, other than to say that, like, I'm not going to support this cat. Like, I don't give a fuck how funny you are. I'm out. If somebody told me that James Harden was doing this, I'm out. Anybody I'm a fan of, if I find out that they're grooming underage girls for their own sexual purposes, this isn't a difficult, I don't get the overwhelming support for guy. I don't understand how you're going to allow any of this to change. Look, I don't like cancel culture either, but there is a between period here where facts have to be found. A fucking jury has to do things. Like, a judge has to make a decision. We don't get to decide, is what I'm saying. So for now, he's not back. It's still what happened, and we wait to see. That's it. Like, I don't get the people who are just like, I'm all back in on Chris D'Elia. It's just like, okay, we're not learning our lesson here. This is the same dumb shit. It's horny, sad dudes who get super famous and can't control themselves. And it's fucking insane that we just keep giving them a pass. Figure it out. What were you going to say, Chris?
Well, I feel like part of it kind of has to do with this, like, idea of society, like, coming after the white man or something like that. And it's this, like, want to, like, I feel like that's why a lot of supporters are, like, still supporting him, because they feel like they're, like, oh, they're trying to attack Chris because of, like, who he is and all this type of stuff.
Because he's white?
Dude, I mean, you should, like I said, the comments are, like, it's a weird fucking demographic of people that are still, like, firm supporters of Chris D'Elia and stuff like that. A lot of them are using the, like, innocent until proven guilty argument and stuff like that. But just because he hasn't been proven guilty in a court of law, like, there are thousands of text messages and screenshots and stuff like that from people out there.
Legally innocent until proven guilty.
Yes.
Legally. But in the court of public opinion, we all have to learn to hit the pause button, because in the 24-hour news cycle, like, we just don't fucking know yet.
Yeah.
You know? But are you seeing the progression here? From allegations to actual lawsuits, like, with what he's doing on the sly, it looks like a worst-case scenario situation where yet another seemingly iconic comic is not worthy of our attention because he's got problems that need to be addressed way the fuck before he should be making any of us laugh.
Yep. And I need to reiterate, I never liked him, never thought he was funny, so...
You're not alone. And that camp either, Jared. You're not alone, Jared.
He just wasn't for me, and I'm happy I don't have to see him anymore.
Well, there you go. Now he's gone. RBP377 is also brought to you by Athletic Greens, the most comprehensive daily nutritional beverage I've ever tried. It's great. With so many stressors in life, so many responsibilities, none of us can maintain effective nutritional habits and give our bodies the nutrients they need to thrive every single day. We've got busy schedules. We get poor sleep. We're trying to exercise. We're stressed. And for most of us, if you're like me, you're simply just not eating enough of the right foods. That's where Athletic Greens comes in and helps all of us out. Their daily all-in-one superfood powder is your nutritional essential. It's by far the easiest, most delicious nutritional habit that you can add to your health routine today and empower yourself to take ownership of your health. One tasty scoop of Athletic Greens contains 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, including a multivitamin, multimineral, probiotic, green superfood, and more that all work together to fill the gaps in your nutritional diet, increase energy and focus, aid with digestion, and support a healthy immune system, all without the need to take multiple products, which is the key here. You only have to take your Athletic Greens, Chris. Are they delicious?
Oh, absolutely. Get my day started right first thing in the morning. Oh, it's excellent. I feel great the rest of the day.
Simply visit athleticgreens.com/Ross today and join health experts, athletes, and health-conscious go-getters around the world, as well as podcasters who make a daily commitment to their health every single day. And guess what you'll get? A free year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs today when you go to athleticgreens.com/Ross. Again, simply visit athleticgreens.com/Ross for a free year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs today. Next segment, two questions you must answer. New segment today.
Sick.
There have been lots of fun hypotheticals on the internet of late that have caught my eye. I wanted to do at least one today. One is a hypothetical. I guess the other one that we have is a question for the sake of debate. But the three of us, myself, Jared, and Chris, will answer these questions, and you will answer them for yourselves if you're listening, and we will discuss. Here is the first one. It was a hypothetical that came up on Twitter from @QuakeArena. She asked, or he asked, your wife has been kidnapped and is being held in a location 30 minutes away.
Okay.
You are driving the 30 minutes to rescue her. It is a warm night and your windows are down. Do you listen to music on the drive there, yes or no? Yes or no. Jared, I'm going to ask you first.
No.
Why not?
When I'm like really in deep thought, I can't have music on in the background because it like my brain... Maybe some sort of ADHD thing.
Sure.
I can't like fully focus because my brain goes like this. It goes, well, you're trying to think and there's music on in the background and you're not listening to the music and yep. You are thinking, so why would you not just turn the music off?
Sure.
So I understand like the vibe, like maybe at some point if I was like, I'm really scared, I need to pump myself up, I put on like Electric Light Orchestra, you know, like just get in the mood or sure. Like maybe put on like Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen. But otherwise, if I'm like,
Born to Run might talk you into running, though, instead of going to get her, I feel like.
I'm running over there.
Oh, okay. Save. Got you. Okay.
Wendy. Maybe Wendy, we can be with his hand. Yeah, so I'd have it off.
Chris?
Fair enough. I can see what's happening right now in my head already, just based on my current car. And what usually happens is I would hop in the car. I'd be so stressed out that I wouldn't think of anything. My phone would auto-connect to Bluetooth, and it would start playing a song from the Lion King soundtrack, which right now it is on The Land by Hans Zimmer, and that would probably stay on in the background the entire drive there because I would be too stressed out to turn it off. It would just be down really, really low. But the other night, I drove all the way home from your house with no music without even realizing it because, like Jared said, I was just deep in thought. So that could be a case, too. I just can't imagine taking the time or distraction to, like, put on a song while I'm going to get my kidnapped wife.
So I'm going to say the first 20 minutes of this 30-minute drive, I'm no music. I
sure.
need focus. I need to be deep in thought. I need to be planning how I'm going to execute this entire situation. But the last 10 minutes, I'm going in on, like, hype music that is going to get me fired the fuck up in the way I need to probably commit murder, right? Just on a natural level, I'm not just ready to kill a motherfucker at any given second. I need to jam, like, Du Hast or whatever for at least 10 minutes before I can commit a murder.
What's that song that you played that I said was like the most hype song you've ever played for me, and it's just a guy yelling over a rap song, and he like progressively yells more and more and more by the end of the song? You said you used to listen to
it
a lot.
The title's Throwbacks.
Throwbacks?
Yeah, I believe.
You need to jam that song, because that song gets me fucking going.
It's just screwed and chopped, so I don't know if it's going to have the vibe I need for like... Yes, it gets there eventually, but it's sure. Like, I need straight from the get-go, like... This is murder music. Maybe I listen to Eminem's music to get murdered by. Well, that's to get murdered by.
Maybe, you know, it's a song to listen to that might pump you up if you're like trying to get crazy, like get to the point where they look at you and they're released your wife because they're like, this dude,
fuck this, I'm not this dude is insane.
Introducing the Icon by Riff Raff.
What is wrong?
That's fair.
You?
Or Lamborghini High.
See, Riff Raff, again, still to this day, he's been famous now for like 8 years. I do not know if it's a bit.
You know what I'm doing in the car for the last 10 minutes? DMX. Party up.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Y'all go this make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here.
What would you reset the Tesla horn to as you pull up to let them know that you've arrived?
Oh, yeah, that's a good call.
I'd set it to the, in Happy Gilmore when he yells out, "You're gonna die, clown!"
That's a good one. That's a great one.
You're gonna walk up,
you're gonna die, you're gonna die,
you're gonna die, clown, you're gonna die, clown. Yeah, they're out. They're bailing and I'm getting my wife back. The other thing I'd do is just not drive 30 minutes away because my wife left me and she can go to hell.
That's a great call. That's a great call.
I'm just kidding, but had to get that in there.
I think I would want to reset the Tesla horn to like classical music just because it's so tight in action movies when they have like an action sequence over classical music and they're going like full Jason Bourne in there to
I think
like Mozart
on the horn though. I don't know if you can just blast like a whole song.
You could tie a brick to it and tape it so it's always just.
But then it's just like a loop of the same 10 second. Well, that might cause some disorientation
exactly.
For your enemies that you're coming in on too,
audio disorientation. And wait, doesn't your Tesla do a bunch of like light show shit too? The Tesla might be the best rescue vehicle that we have.
Not if you're getting trying to get stealthy.
No, we saw, I got a Nissan Sentra, all black.
Wait,
everything.
Not if you're trying to get stealthy.
Somebody
it's
said,
silent.
Somebody answered, stealth is an optimal requirement. Nothing or no one should see or hear me coming. Only the carnage left behind will be audible and visible.
Good fucking God.
I got 4,000 likes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wait, it also depends too. Like, is this like a ransom situation? If I'm just going to like drop $1,000 off and take my wife home.
You're going to murder them.
Someone also said Africa by Toto.
Yeah, I mean.
I could definitely see that one.
It's a vibe. It's about.
Nani, nani, na. Eh, walk. Wait.
That's what? That's
wait.
Shakira.
Oh, shit. You're right.
That's like,
I was thinking about
like the Africa song. This time for Africa.
From the World Cup.
Oh my God.
My bad.
Africa by Toto is, I hear the
yep, drum. You're right. You're right. Tonight. Yep. No, I know. I've kind of removed that song from my mind because it used to play at the, what are those retail shops called that sell like Patagonia and shit?
The
like
mall?
Retail wholesalers?
The mall?
Nah,
Macy's?
Kinda. Sure.
Nordstrom?
Kinda.
JCPenney?
It was called Patriot Jack's. It sucked. I hated it. I don't think they're in business
anymore. Chris goes, oh yeah, that'd be a great song. And it just belts out a Shakira song. Why would you listen to a Shakira song?
Because that would get me going. Does Shakira not get you going?
I mean,
think about
no,
how loose
no,
you would
does,
be.
It does, but only
about,
She-Wolf.
There's a She-Wolf in the closet.
That's a good song.
That's a good song.
You know what gets me going? I watched that music video that Shakira and Beyonce. I don't know any of Shakira's songs. I don't care.
Hips don't
but
lie.
Her music videos are beautiful.
I'm on the night, you know my hips don't lie. That's not bad at all, J-Bone.
Thank you.
Yeah, she's
that
a little
not
Muppet-y.
Bad at all.
She's got a little bit of a Muppet thing going.
She does. Her and Patrick Mahomes' kid would just be Kermit the Frog.
Shakira,
it would just come out Kermit.
Shakira. Yeah, she's fucking hot though, man.
Oh yeah, the Super Bowl. A lot of people were like, "Yeah, the weekend was good, but give me J-Lo and Shakira back.
Give me Beyonce and Shakira, or J-Lo and Shakira, Shakira and anyone." Frankly, would be a great.
I think Beyonce, or I mean, I think Shakira was with Beyonce in the Super Bowl, right? That was the one that
it was J-Lo. But I will say this:
That was the one where she did the.
Yeah. Do you know who Shakira's husband is?
I did once. I did once. I don't now off the top.
It is Barcelona center back Gerard Piqué.
Really?
Piqué.
Yes. No way. Who knew?
Good he might be retired now, but you know, cornerstone of the Spanish national team
say,
in Barcelona.
An good absolute for beast for Barcelona.
Very, very, very handsome man, too. One of the most handsome footballers.
Great facial hair. Phenomenal
great facial,
facial hair.
I mean, most Spanish people have amazing facial hair. The
Do
Spanish,
his hips lie?
The
his
Spanish
hips lie?
Are... What?
Do his hips lie?
No, based I don't think he has his, huge hips. He's pretty tall and lanky.
Based on his center back performance, though, I mean, he'll body you out, though. Like, he's got some hips on him.
He'll box you out. And he probably has, he's doing a lot of strafing, so he probably has really good lateral movement.
Very true. Very true. That's probably from Shakira.
She probably taught him a thing or two. There was a 60
maybe he
minutes.
Taught her.
There was a 60 minutes entire segment on Shakira. And, like, apparently she is, like, one of the most puts time and effort into everything she does performers of all time. Like,
well, I'm sure
she's a
multi-platinum international superstar that's in the top tier
is there
in
ever,
our lifetime.
Is she one of those superstars that's had kind of like a flawless background. Yes, like off the top, I can't think of any scandal I've ever heard of that involves Shakira.
She started off in Colombia, I think, being more of like a Colombian pop music singer, and then realized that she could like really translate into being popular in America, and just like went all in on like American pop music, but with a Colombian flair to it. And I think she's not had anything.
Well, that like late her. That was like the late 90s, early 2000s. Go for it.
Tax evasion.
Well, no, that's
in
not her
Spain,
fault.
Not our,
that's not
our
fault. Okay, it's okay. Every single person who's ever played soccer in Spain has been charged with tax evasion.
Really?
Well, this is her,
Messi,
not him. This is her,
Messi,
not him.
Tax evasion.
Her, not him. Sorry.
Well, Shakira. Not shared finances. She's only in Spain because of Gerard. So I'm gonna say it's shared finances.
It's her that's in trouble. There's no mention of him at all.
Well, she's probably being his tax shelter.
I'm betting. Jared, you're telling me you're assuming that Shakira and Gerard combine their finances like a normal married couple?
Mm-hmm. I highly
doubt
that.
That is insane that you think that. $16.4 million in taxes.
Who is worth more money?
Actually,
Gerard, Piqué, or Shakira?
That's
absolutely
a very
no way that Shakira is not worth more.
I don't know, dude.
Shakira net worth $280 million.
Okay.
Yeah, is that reliable though?
I would say so.
Gerard, Piqué, $80 million.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, get the fuck out of
okay.
here, bro. Shakira or random soccer? Well,
okay,
soccer players do make bank.
Don't, like, just because we don't know a lot about in the States, like, Gerard Piqué is probably one of the, like, top 10. Like, he's, like, Luka Doncic level in the NBA for, like,
not
European
anymore.
Soccer.
Not anymore.
Not
he
anymore.
Was.
But he was. The thing about the Champions League is, like, people from all around Europe get to see the best players every single year play against people from their country. And so these superstars like Gerard Piqué that play on the same team year after year after year, and Barcelona, like, goes up to Manchester City and dominates him year after year after year, he gets to be a very well-known player all across Europe.
Barcelona definitely doesn't dominate Manchester City year after year after year.
They
definitely
did in the Champions League for, like, 4 fucking years, bro, because I watched Messi literally put his foot down Aguero's throat every fucking time. It's very hard to watch.
I'm
not going to listen to y'all argue about Premier League soccer anymore. This is interesting to me. Piqué is 34.
Mm-hmm.
Shakira, 44.
She's 44.
Mm-hmm.
Good for her.
34, though, which is close to me and close enough to make me go, what the fuck?
Yeah,
also, he looks like an underwear
34?
Model.
He does look like an underwear
like
model.
An underwear model. Okay, moving on to our next and final hypothetical. Our guest Monday was Mr. Arian Foster, as I mentioned. On Twitter, I believe this morning or last night, can't recall, he threw up a, 4 hours ago, so this morning, he threw up a hypothetical or a question that I would like both of you to ask. I want to go Chris first here.
Sure.
How many uses do you get, or the hypothetical he threw out was how many uses should you get out of a towel before you wash it?
Okay, so
how many times do you usually go, and be honest here, you're 21 and people are going to be disgusted. They expect to be disgusted. Don't lie.
I have two different towels that I use, and I wash them each, like, probably once every, like, 2 weeks. But I trade off the towels per shower usage to make sure they get a full dry.
Okay, this is a...
Which is probably pretty, well, based on...
I've utilized this strategy.
Probably
I don't actually
gross.
Know that there's any logic to it.
No,
but
I don't think
I have done this hoopty loop in my own head before to make it okay.
I just hate
where
the feeling.
I'll just use it. I'm not going to wash this towel.
Yeah.
I'm going to grab another fresh towel.
Yep.
Both of these towels will stay fresh longer.
Correct.
If I'm rotating them, which I think might not actually be the case.
I'm going to say something.
I hate getting out of the towel, or I hate getting out of the shower with a damp towel. Like, if I have to dry with a damp towel, worst feeling of all time.
Say something controversial.
I want to say something controversial.
Hit it, Bone.
I wash my towels every time I shower with my soapy body, so why would I ever wash it?
See, I've had the thought process there too.
But they start to smell
like soap.
Mold. Like old you. Like your fucking rotting skin that you've wiped off onto it.
So I'll say this.
Germs accumulated.
Before I
the internet.
Cohabitated with my girlfriend, I probably washed my towels. I don't even know if once a month. I don't know. But now they get washed with very much frequency because she washes them. But
sure.
Yeah, when y'all started dating, it was a big day for me. I didn't have to worry as much about like what might happen to you down the line, hygiene-wise.
So if we're talking about laundry stories, let me tell you about the worst thing I ever did, laundry-wise.
Okay. This would be shocking, bad if you're listening.
First time living away from home in college. I remember I went to Bed Bath & Beyond, got my Wisconsin-themed bed sheets from Bed Bath & Beyond.
Sick.
And it's the first time I ever, like, was, you know, doing my own laundry and living on my own and expected to, like, have an idea of, like, how often you wash things that aren't clothes, right? Like, it's not something my brain processes, like, oh, whatever. I used the same
sheets,
bed sheets,
the whole year.
So
my next question was going to be,
oh my god,
about your bed sheets and how often you wash them. And obviously now we know the answer is hopefully somewhere in every few weeks or whatever, at least every couple weeks with having a girlfriend that you live with. But that's a really bad one too, that people like
don't know to do.
Well, and it's really like it's really hard when you're single. Like if there's never anyone else sleeping in your bed or using your bathroom to know that your towels are grungy, it's like, what fucking motivation do you have? I don't know. But then I will say this, people. In the name of all that is good and decent, please wash your sheets at least once every couple weeks. If you're gross, especially if you're having a bunch of sex with a bunch of weirdos in your bed, even if you're alone, though, you probably smell sad.
Okay, I've found a picture
of your bed sheet.
I'm not happy about it.
March 27th, 2012, I posted to Facebook. This is back when Facebook mobile uploads were a thing. People were doing it. Okay. So the caption.
If you're listening and you're like, wait, you what did to Facebook? We used to put photos on Facebook the way people now do on Instagram until Instagram was invented and everyone was like, this is way better. And then Facebook bought Instagram and now the world is on fire. Go ahead, Jerry.
So this is from 9 years ago and the caption is the size of, I didn't mention this, probably about halfway in, a rip formed in the sheets. And so over time.
I'm sorry, did you say rip torn? Rest in peace.
Go ahead.
I think
a rip formed in the sheets, okay. Right? And it would just slowly get bigger and bigger over the next 6 months. But I didn't want to buy new sheets. I didn't want to wash them. These sheets were staying on this bed. I wasn't going to touch them. So, caption: the size of the hole in my sheets is dwarfed only by the extent of my laziness regarding buying new ones. Here, okay. Now I have a photo for you.
Show it to me. And this, we'll put this in our video if we can. Jesus Christ, Jared. I need people to understand something that are listening, though, especially if you're a female or you're just a generally hygienic male who was raised correctly. There are millions of us, like me, like Jared, like Chris, who at different phases in our life, and hopefully not by the time we're in our 30s, Jared, you got a few more years before you have to have things completely straightened out, that just have no fucking clue.
Yep.
When it comes to, like, hygiene especially. Look, we had moms who did all this for us. Our whole lives. And then one day they were just like, go get drunk at school and figure it out. And we were like, cool. But here's the thing you find out about adulthood and self maintenance and self-responsibility and being an individual that has to take care of themselves. That list of stuff you have to do to take care of things is really, really, really long. And when you're like 21, 23, 27, fucking A, man. The stuff like washing your sheets and pillowcases, and making sure your fucking bathroom towel is clean, that shit slides way down the list fast when you're worrying about stuff like how to pay taxes, how do I find job after school?
Why did you turn into Tommy Wiseau?
I don't know.
Spin.
But like,
are you Spin?
What, like, that stuff isn't top of mind for us. And then at some point, the lessons learned are difficult. I'm sure at some point, your girlfriend had a very weird conversation with you about general fucking hygiene.
No, because I had...
Me? No.
When I first started seeing her, I got my shit together because I was like, oh, she's going to see all this.
Yes,
so.
I was about to say that. So I just started seeing somebody, and a byproduct of like seeing somebody new that you're really interested in, especially for me as a guy, is like I got all my shit together, and like everything at home is clean. My bathroom is clean. Like I'm keeping all my shit.
All my shit is literally organized. Just cleaning your bedroom and your bathroom.
That's correct.
Yeah. Oh my
but
god. Bathrooms
rarely
a bathroom of a bachelor.
Oh, bro. Women, especially that are listening, if you're 20, never go in your dude's bathroom. Just stay out of there. It's disgusting. They don't have a fucking clue. There's fucking pubes everywhere.
Everywhere.
Like, oh, you're my like, God, wow, they're like, everywhere. If you're breathing in that bathroom, you're breathing pubes in.
And a lot of people have mold in their shower. They leave the shower curtain closed so the evaporation can't go anywhere. And it's just like the red mold, which is the gross mold.
Guys do a lot of disgusting things. We do. We're terrible at this type of shit that we're discussing here. Look, I learned this. I got to a point where at the very least, it's once every 2 weeks, but it's when the towel starts to get a little harder.
Crunchy. Yeah.
That I'm like, oh yeah, you're out. And I'll be honest, it depends how many clean towels I got.
Very
true. If the stack is high, you might only do 2 showers with this towel before I throw this fucker in the laundry because, fuck it.
You know, if I hop out of the towel is just a little bit damp and I got a full stack of clean towels, I'm grabbing a clean towel. I'm not going to rush off with my, even if it's just a once use towel, I'm still grabbing the clean one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Can I note that sometimes I know the questions people are wondering, like, Jared, how did you sleep with that big of a rip? Like, wasn't it uncomfortable? Yeah. Sometimes I wake up and both my feet would be inside of the rip. But in a cold Wisconsin winter, I would just, though, not bad.
Here's an even worse, and I've told this story on the show before, but it was a very long time ago. I had a roommate in college, and at one point, this roommate lived in the fraternity house. I did not. And in that fraternity house, dudes picked on him sometimes. One time, he was asleep in his bedroom with the door locked, and somebody shot a bottle rocket in there from underneath the door. Well, it lit his bed on fire.
Nice.
He got out. Everything was fine. Everything was fine. But the point is this. A couple years later, we're moving into an apartment together, and I see him hauling his bed, his mattress, up the stairs, and I look over, and I'm like, bruh, the top left corner of your bed looks like someone set it afire. And he was like, oh yeah, this is the bed from the frat house, and I was like, and then he kept walking, and I like got a better look, and it was literally, like, it just was gone, that corner, but there's like stains all over it. And then it occurred to me, like, that people had been getting drunk and pissing onto his mattress to screw with him. Again, people are terrible. Fraternity guys in particular. It's a face. And that was the same bed, dude.
Oh, my God.
Like, he didn't give a fuck. Fuck his sheets. It wouldn't matter what you wrapped this thing in. Nobody was getting in this bed and going, this smells normal. It had been lit on fire and pissed all over. And he was this is a smart dude, by the way. Sometimes really, really smart people will be the worst with hygiene. They got too much other shit to worry about. I'm serious. It's a weird thing. But this dude couldn't let go. And I think with the guys, a lot of times, it's like, we just don't want to deal with, like, I don't want to go find another bed, which is why we here at RBP provide you with Lisa.
To make
so
it
you
easy.
You have to make this decision. Yeah. We've already found the best one for you. Just go to lisa.com/RBP. They're not even sponsoring today's show. That's how much we love them.
Yeah, I love my Lisa.
I'm curious, J-Bone, did your rip start due to a Big Mouth situation?
Not familiar.
He's asking if you were fucking your bed.
Yes.
Oh, no, I wasn't fucking the bed. No.
Okay.
It just formed.
I mean, the spacing of where that rip occurred, the thought was there. I just had to ask.
Okay, I got a question.
Yeah.
How many living, breathing humans, like the percentage of humans do you think, how many of them have achieved orgasm by making love to an inanimate object? Also, I don't know if you can hear this. There's definitely another podcast being recorded in the other studio right now. And I'm wondering if I can vaguely hear them. Can they hear me? And if so, have we ruined their entire show? Because this line of questioning, no one could focus if they heard this going on elsewhere.
To answer your first question, I want to probably say like 1% of people have orgasmed to an inanimate object.
That is so low. Yeah.
Wait. Hold on.
So
are you including like
so very?
Are
low.
You including like?
I'm including swimming pools.
Like a
I'm including
pocket
stuffed
pussy?
Animals. I'm including pillows. I'm including pocket pussies.
Oh yeah, like way.
I'm including
than
two bags.
Dude, I thought you were
with
doing
jelly,
like
then put in the microwave and sandwich between your mattress. I'm including furries. I'm including all of it.
Then probably like 100%.
I don't think 100%, but I would definitely say the majority of the population has at one point in their life fucked an inanimate object.
Yeah. No, over 50%.
Or used an inanimate object for stimulation.
Let he who has not fucked his own bed cast the first stone.
You know? Julius Caesar said that shit.
He did. He did say that. And that brings us to our final segment of today's show. 2 years of Bolin Media. So on this Friday's Patreon episode, as we mentioned at the top of the show, every week we do 2 episodes that are public and 1 Friday episode that's ad-free, premium, exclusive shit just for people who support our show financially with a minimum pledge of $5 a month on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast in exchange for ad-free, premium, exclusive podcasts every Friday. This Friday, I'm going to talk about our 2 years in business so far. My experience as a small business owner and self-employed content creator, as the founder of Boland Media in its two first years of existence. And here's why. Here's what I mean. This isn't a, we don't like, we are a very non-traditional company in a very non-traditional space. The world of online media, it isn't like there's a blueprint out there for exactly how you should build your media company. It's not like if you were trying to put together a construction company and you'd go reference all the successful construction companies and just see how they did it and then do that or improve upon it or whatever. Media and technology are a constantly shifting space. And in the past 10 years, really more like 30 years, but in the 10 years I've been in it, it's been nonstop chaos. New apps springing up constantly, new mediums, new rules, new versions of the game have sprung up over and over and over. It changes very rapidly. It's not so much, what I mean by that is it makes it even more non-traditional. Of course, I'm aware that there are many industries that are non-traditional in the same way that online media is. But all that is to say, I wouldn't normally think of myself as worthy of speaking on like business. It's not as if I'm here to preach that like I am some veteran CEO who can tell you everything you need to do to survive in a startup. But no, here's what we can do though. Between the three of us, Jared, I don't actually know if you'll be available on Friday. I'll have to talk to you off mic. But between the three of us, Jared's got what, seven?
Six.
6 years of experience, but that's, are you counting your internship?
Seven.
7 years of experience in the content game. Chris is in his first year still right now, barely.
We're getting close.
Getting to, close to your year.
Yeah.
I'm in year 10. And Chris being Gen Z, especially because he has a different feel for the internet, and it's a different internet for him than it is for me and for Jared. There are a lot of different perspectives on this business that we're currently building, as well as the outside internet and other what I will call comparable companies that we will discuss as well. And the things that I took away from my experience at the first place Jared and I worked together, which was a company called Grandex. And for those of you who are familiar with Total Frat Move or Postgrad Problems, excuse me, or any of the clothing brands we ran, the reason that I now feel even qualified to try to do this, to run a company, to do my own thing, is because of the lessons I've learned in this space over the past 10 years through just an unbelievable amount of failure. And that was always sort of like one of the cheesiest things I ever heard entrepreneurs say, like, failure is the key to success or whatever. And it's like, nobody wants to fucking hear that, because nobody wants to hear that you have to lose first before you can win. And of course, you don't have to. A very small percentage of people actually hit a home run the first time. Very, 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 very small. But I am here still after 2 years, the first of which I was going through a divorce after our OG, or the company that I started my career at, imploded when the pandemic was kicking off during the election while facing extremely difficult mental health circumstances. So I do have some knowledge of what it takes to sort of get through the initial hump of I'm trying to start a company, I have no clue what I'm doing, and I have to figure it out on my own. And I want to share some of that experience this week on Friday and have a place that's just a full hour to focus on what I've taken from the game in my first 10 years, some of the more important and difficult lessons I've learned, as well as some of the funniest and most absurd stories that have come from that 10 years as a result. And I can promise you that there are a lot of them.
And if you've ever like been like, oh, you know, Ross's career sounds tight, maybe after I graduate college or graduate high school, I get something I'm interested in, then this will be a phenomenal episode to listen to. And if you're not on Patreon, you should get on there, because that's where it's going to be.
That's where it's going to be. Patreon.com/RossBolanPodcast. patreon.com/RossBolanPodcast. Go join a tier. And this Friday, come through, hear the episode where I speak on my career thus far, and I will do my best to make it worth at least, it'll be worth at least $5.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same 10 years. Price.
A lot of knowledge.
10 years of knowledge.
$5.
10 years of knowledge for only $4.99. No, it is $5.
The same price as two Coca-Cola energies.
Yeah, come on.
Coca-Cola with coffee?
Yeah.
The dumb shit some of you have spent $5 on this week, now you're disgusted.
Somebody
you're thinking
here
to yourself, fuck, I bought that.
Yeah. Bushel of bananas to fuck.
I bought that bushel of bananas to fuck myself with when I could have gotten 10 years worth of knowledge in that same $5. What a mistake you made. Go to patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast right now and remedy that mistake. That will do it for today's show, but before you head out to take on the world, it's time for some very important announcements. You have three legal obligations you've been saddled with as a result of having listened to this entire podcast, the first of which, you must rate and review. Then you can check that box and move on to number two, which is to share the show with one person. Could be a friend, a family member, a coworker, a neighbor. Send them this episode if you loved it. Send them Monday's Arian Foster episode if you loved it. One of our episodes from your most recent favorite episode. Share it with one person today. Check that box and move on to your third and final legal obligation, which is to support our sponsors who support us and keep us in business. This week we've got Sunday, our new lawn sponsor. Sunday, go to getsunday.com/Ross for $20 off your custom lawn plan at checkout. Go do this now. Go look at their website. Go look at how it works, and you're going to be like, holy shit, this is way better than what I'm doing with my lawn now. I promise you. Going back to reviews,
I'm just going to read a nice review.
Read a great review for people so they'll know what it sounds like.
5 stars. You are not alone. And the short and sweet ones are good. Also, long ones, maybe you tell your story about how
the podcast
affects you.
If you have a personal circumstance, sure.
Either one's good. You know, we love reading the long ones. The short ones are great because, you know, they're digestible for people just wanting to read a quick one.
Yeah, so don't feel that pressure. You can say just whatever
you
want.
We love both.
Yeah.
You are not alone. When you think you are alone, William Ross Bowling got your back.
Man, they put my first name in there.
Yep.
That's pretty rare.
WR.
Old RW. Bro, the dude who used to call me that passed away.
No. Really?
No bullshit. It was the first thing that's really happened since I got divorced where I felt it was a different level of, like, sadness because I have no connection to that community anymore. This was somebody that my ex was a result of that relationship.
Sure.
And I can't even, like, I can't even holler at his family to be like, I'm so, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is the first one where I was like, fuck!
Well, do you want some closure publicly? Would you like to give an RIP to Mr.?
Yeah, man, I don't want to say his name. Sure. I'm not going to put anybody on blast like that, but this dude was really, really cool to me. He definitely fit into the box of people that we probably had very little in common when it comes to our political beliefs, and he was always, he couldn't have been more supportive. Let me put it this way. This dude was worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Sure.
I'm just some slapdick who absolutely has nothing in common with any of the people he hangs out with and pretty obviously doesn't like being there. And he was still cool to me. So, and he was also incredibly supportive of the TFM book. I got this badass photo of him reading it on the beach that I don't know what country it was even in, probably can't pronounce it anyway, and we'll never be able to afford to go there. He was a cool dude amongst this like most wealthy white people suck. I'll just put it that way. And he did not
suck. What would he call you?
RW. He never, so WR Bolin was my, WR Bolin was my, my writer name or whatever on the TFM book, the book I wrote, the New York Times bestselling comedy novel I wrote. And I don't know why he couldn't get it straight, man, but every time I saw him, he'd be like, RW, how are you? And I was just like, I don't even give a fuck that that's not my name. That sounds tight as hell. And I like you, sir.
When you're old as hell, like 60 plus, are you going to revert to going by like WR?
But dude, at that point, I'm going to be going by so much different shit, nobody will even be able to
like
keep track
Slappy.
Of what my fucking name is, yeah. I'm going to, most people will call me Uncle Slappy at that point.
Uncle
Go to patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. That's not where we are on this thing. Oh, yeah. So the other sponsor we had today was Athletic Greens. So go to athleticgreens.com/Ross and support our sponsors. Check that box. Your third and final legal obligation is complete. I can call off the dogs. We don't have to see each other in court. We can all live long and prosper. I am personally on social media. You can follow those accounts at WR Bolin at Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Not at RW Bolin. At WRBOLEN on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Also available on Twitch. When you go to twitch.tv/BossRolin a few times a week, I go live. We have a blast. Jared and Chris off in there as well. We bring in outside guests. Shitto's played with us a lot. Going to try to get Arian Foster in with us at some point soon as well. Twitch is going to be a lot more guest and outside people heavy as we continue to move forward and try to bring in more people to play video games with us. Christopher, where can everybody follow you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at ChrisSC99. You can find me on Twitter at Q0ULS.
What about you, Jared?
At Jared Borslow.
Oh, that's great.
It's my first and last name, and you need to go and follow that account because
big news coming, right?
That's the official J-Bone Twitter account, mm-hmm. and that's where the big news, the big J-Bone news is going
to
drop.
I've been trying to explain J-Bone this to people, but at Jared Borslaw on Twitter is the official news account for J-Bone News. Is basically what how I understand it.
It's kind of like the Tiger Woods account, right?
So yeah, you would follow Tiger Woods for Tiger Woods news. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
and occasionally like Tiger will hop on.
He might tweet,
say something, but it's mostly keeping
TW
you
or whatever when it's him.
But it's keeping you updated on the life of Tiger Woods, just like the official J-Bone Twitter
at Jared Borslaw, where people don't realize this, but it's actually like a 14-person team running content on that all day, every day. If you ever see one signed J-Bone, then that's actually Jared.
So it is, and in often cases, that tweet will have been dictated and not written by me. I will have said it to a member of my team, and he'll tweet, and then I'll say, add the J-Bone at the end.
I've actually physically seen Jared hand his phone to one of his employees who works his social media and say, type this,
and they all
rather than just type it himself.
Yeah. They all have to look like J-Bone, correct? I've heard that a lot of your employees could stand in as lookalikes. I'm not even sure if
we
have
he likes
real
to hire people
now.
Who can serve as body doubles just in case of an assassination attempt. So there's a lot of scruffy, smaller, rounded, half-Jewish guys running around that look like Jared.
No, that was the old phase. I have a new phase of what I make my employees do. What I have them do is I have my whole, you know, facial and hair, like head hair and facial. But is your head hair part of your face?
Yours is all attached, so who knows anymore?
True. My whole head of hair, including my beard, I have each one of them has one little tiny strip of it. And if you combine all of them together in a sort of like photo mashup, it would be my entire head of hair.
Do you know those things that you buy in like a grocery store or a Walgreens aisle? Where it's a dude's face and you move the magnetic shit around it.
Wooly Willy.
Does he not look exactly like Wooly Willy?
You don't look like Wooly Willy.
Dude, you look exactly like Wooly Willy.
I think you might be Wooly Willy.
I'm not Wooly Willy. Also, Wooly Willy doesn't look like anything because you can move the hair wherever the hell you want.
But you kind of look like I could move your hair wherever
I
want.
I'm saying if I remove all your hair and I'm looking at Wooly Willy, like that's basically you.
Yeah. Kind of is.
Yeah.
It's like a little too much like you. Like, here's, look, that's somebody did Wooly Willy, and that's fucking you, dude.
Oh my, it's Jared.
Like, you're Wooly Willy.
I'm kind of Wooly Willy. That's actually weird. He does have blue eyes, though. He does have brown, beautiful blue eyes,
and you have poop eyes, which is.
Ooh,
you not need poop eyes.
I'm fucking with you. But come on, dude. Brown Eyed Girl is a song that was written so that all people with brown eyes could never have to feel bad about their brown eyes again.
Oh, my God.
My eyes are beautiful. I have brown eyes. Look how deep, dark my eyes are.
You know how when you're a pledge, you have to, like, go and sing a song to, like, a sorority? Invite them to something? Yeah, for some reason, we chose Brown Eyed Girl, and as a bunch of white dudes, Brown Eyed Girl, like, the way that it's sung, it doesn't really have a consistent rhythm throughout the song.
Oh, man, I'm betting that was so monotone.
Oh, we botched it so bad.
You're my brown-eyed girl.
Yeah, it was really, really, really awful. And then we had to build, like, a stage as our, like, pledge project. And because Brown Eyed Girl was a song we chose, our pledge master made us listen to that song and that song only on repeat for about 5 hours. And I have not listened to it since.
Let me give you an example of, like, some... just a comparison between like white American culture and other cultures. Like, you could argue, all these different, all organizations do really silly things. What about black fraternities? Yeah, most of that stuff has actual ties to like meaningful cultural historical shit. Ours was a drunk dude 40 years ago being like, God, I want to get some pussy. And that's where the idea came from.
Yeah, like
there is no significance to these traditions.
Hey, man, I want to know if I want to be friends with you, so here's a stick of butter on a hot dog bun, and you need to eat it.
I'm speaking of like the specific thing Chris just brought. It's like, that was three dudes sitting around shit-faced, and one of them was like, I haven't gotten laid in 9.5 hours.
Can we, like,
hey, what if we got the pledges to go sing to the Zeta House?
To get all of them here.
I bet that would get us laid. Like, that's how we came up with the shit that we do at fraternities.
I had to sing Hero by Enrique Iglesias to Theta in college.
At least that's funny. A lot of it was also for entertainment, out of boredom.
Yeah.
This was just pathetic.
I just thought of an even weirder society. Okay, I'll stop after this, I promise. But what frat guys do to their pledges is kind of what white people do to the rest of the world for the rest of their lives.
Bingo.
Yeah.
That will do it for today's show. We already did all that. We're in the outro.
Yep.
Are we done?
We already did all our social media. Oh, tag us on Instagram stories. Put up your stories of yourselves getting pedicures, doing self-care, interacting in any way, shape, or form with anything that we've ever discussed on the show. really just anything funny or meaningful or inspirational or related to RBP and the things that we cover here. Tag us at the Ross Boland Podcast in your Instagram story. We will share that story on our page. And of course, as we announced last week, the person who we deem to be the best post that sends in the best post to at or tags us at the Ross Boland Podcast on Instagram, getting a pedicure or experiencing a pedicure or being in a pedicure place, is going to win themselves a $500 spa package gift card situation at the end of the month, whenever we pick who our favorite is. So
all of March, you little jerks.
Show us your feet.
Yeah, give me them feet, boy.
Tag us in those stories at the Ross Boland Podcast, and we will share them on our Instagram and pick a winner at the end of March.
Should pick a winner?
Pick a winner by the end of March. Also, television and film, if you enjoy those two things. We have a podcast that covers exclusively the best in TV and movies. It's called Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, and you can find it wherever you listen to RBP. If you love TV and movies, you will love OCC, as we call it, Oysters, Clams, and Cockles. That will do it for RBP 377, produced by Mike Moody Garcia of Permanent Record Studios in Austin, Texas. We will be back Friday on patreon.com/Ross Boland Podcast for a very special ad-free premium edition of RBP, discussing my first 2 years as a small business owner. Remember, until then, you are not alone. Podmen get paid. Respect Mr. Park. Strength and honor. Gang, gang, gang. Christopher.
Peace be with you.
And also with you.
J-Mom.
Go low, baby.